Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we've got a treat tonight, 2 weeks in a row, man. I'll tell you, Madison Bennett, how are you tonight, Maddie?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me back again.
Well, my man Leo isn't feeling well. I told him never go on a cruise, but he went on a cruise, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, yeah. I don't go on cruises, Maddie. You're getting me on one of them floating prisons out there, you know? So yep. Stuck with 2,000 people, you know? I mean, it sounds like a nightmare to me.
I agree.
But Leo seemed, he even said, I'd do it all over again, Drew.
It was so worth it.
Okay. But Leo, you missed tonight's show and you made Maddie come here, but that's okay. We're gonna have a good time tonight, right?
Yes,
we are. All right. We're on an open show tonight, Maddie. That means our listeners are our guests as usual. They get to direct the conversation. As long as they want to keep calling in and asking questions that are important to them, we want to keep answering those questions. And so if you'd like to call in, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. 410-922-6680. And Maddie, you'll put it in my chat, the team chat. Mm-hmm. And I'll know who's calling in, and we'll take those calls as they come in. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, now's the time to call in. You have people calling early, they get the most time. And so this is a good time to call in. 410-922-6680. Maddie, you wanted to tell everybody about an interesting story that you were working on today with a client of ours.
Yeah, so a client of ours recently received a letter from Social Security saying that she owes about $10,000. And the reasoning for this was she just started collecting Social Security maybe
last year.
Yep, last year. She worked for the first half of the year, and she stopped working before she started collecting Social Security. And so she was confused because she thought that the rule was you could make as much before, but once you started, that's when those months really start to count. So the first year that you start collecting, it looks at your monthly income as opposed to the annual income before.
It's only if she was below her full retirement age.
Correct.
And for her, it was 67, I believe,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
So, and she started to collect at like 63 or 64.
Right.
So she was subject to that $20,000 earned income limit. And the good old Social Security Administration got a notice that she made, what, 50, I think it was?
Yeah.
In those first 5-6 months of the year?
Right.
And so they said, oh, well, you owe us money back, you know, and so forth. And really, they should have been looking at a monthly earned income from the day she retired.
Right.
Yeah, and they didn't, but she went in there. We schooled her on what to talk to him about.
Right.
And you schooled her, I should say.
With advice from you.
and she basically won, but they want proof now, too. They want something to show that she retired and all that earned income was before she retired. So,
right.
And we can prove that, but it's just silly that she has to even prove it, you know?
Right, exactly.
Anyway, yeah. So we're on open show, Maddie. Anybody online yet?
Yeah, we've got two people online. So first up, we've got Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hello?
Hey. Yeah, Bob, what's up?
Oh, yes. Two quick questions. Turn the radio off, of course. One is, if I'm still working and my wife are both working and we're 70, I'm 73, she's 71, if our 401s at work, we don't have to pay required minimum distributions from them, do we?
You don't have to take required minimum distributions from them. That is correct.
Because kind of I kept telling we were, and I said, I think if that's the way IRAs.
Well, let me ask you a question. You were never an owner of those companies, correct?
No.
Okay. Now, here's another cool thing, Bob. You ready?
Yeah.
You can roll over your IRAs into your 401k And as long as you're still working at your 401k, you'll never take another RMD on that IRA money also.
I said that a couple of months ago. The only thing is most of my personal investments are with Price, and I think they're better investment options for returns with Price than with them. But I just have my work.
I would doubt that.
Okay. I have a target fund, 2025, and then equity income. I want to keep something simple.
I think T. Rowe Price does a good job, but don't ever assume that they're making more money than your 401k. And when you factor in the taxes, if you need the money coming from your IRA, the RMD, if you're giving it away to charity or you need it to live on, then great. Then just keep taking it. But if you don't need it and you're just paying taxes on it, I would get that in that 401k quicker than they can say 401k.
You have callers. I make one other question. We don't have Roth. We didn't do that maybe years ago. We should have, but when they first saw, we didn't. So basically, hers and mine, she just has 401, so she's working. She doesn't have to take hers out. But mine, personal investments, with the Roths and things like that, is there, if I do it all at one time, I think you've always said that would be crazy because of the tax you pay. You kind of feather it in if you're going to change over to that, or what's the best aspect to do?
Well, the first thing you need to do is make sure that you and your wife both establish a Roth IRA for at least $100, so you get your 5-year clock ticking on your personal Roth IRA, and then second. You do, slowly filter the money in, trying to keep at a certain tax bracket. Let's say you're in the 22% bracket, you'd want to try to keep just filtering in enough to fill that 22% bracket up. That's how we would do it if you were working with us, and that's the way we would analyze it. All right?
I'll probably make an appointment with you and do it. You have people up here in Towson, right, even though you're in Florida?
Yeah, but we work with clients all over the world, so it's you could be in Timbuktu, and we'd be able to work with you. But yes, we have a whole team, Maddie and all the rest of the team, 20-some people are in Hunt Valley. All right, Bob, I got to take a break with traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Madison Bennett, and we're on an open show tonight. So if you'd like to call in and get online, we do have lines open. Hopefully John's still there, Maddie. Yeah, we'll go to him in a second. But if you want to get online, 410-922-6680. Let's go see what John has to what his question is.
All right. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you?
Great, and you, John?
I'm doing pretty good. Hard day today at work, but I'm doing well.
Yeah. What's up?
Well, two things, at least two things anyway. My biggest concern right now is what's going to happen to our dollar when this gold-backed digital money hits the fan?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
I'm hearing things like, the dollar is going to lose all of its value because the dollar is not gold-backed and so forth.
Let me explain something to you that a lot of people have to realize, but these gold bug people, okay?
And
that is the concept that all around the world, Europe, United States, China, Russia, Japan, Australia, Canada, da-da-da-da-da. The amount of currency just in circulation, okay, currency just in circulation is 50 to somewhere between 50 and $100 trillion
right.
in circulation. Do you know what the size of the gold market is? Every ounce of gold that's known in the world is somewhere around $1 trillion or $2 trillion.
Okay.
Now, you're trying to tell me that these gold bug people are going to truly back a currency with gold? And the answer is no. The more logical answer is that sooner or later there will be a cryptocurrency that's going to be backed by a basket of world currencies. So in other words, it'll be 40% U.S. dollars, 20% European dollars, 12% Australian dollars, Japanese dollars, Canadian dollars, da 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 da, and you'll have this basket of currency that you're not putting your faith in your own currency only. Your faith is in the currencies of the currencies around the world. So as one goes up or down, you kind of even it out. You don't just sit there and go up and down with your own currency. That would be a more scary currency for the U.S. dollar than a gold-backed currency.
Okay. All right.
Because that can be easily financed. No doubt about it. You cannot back a cryptocurrency of all the currency in the world with an ounce of, with a dollar of gold for a dollar of cryptocurrency. It's impossible. There's just too much currency out there.
Okay.
All right, my friend. Great question.
Yeah. Well, I'm just concerned because I know that it's out there that Russia and China are trying to. Along with a few other countries, are trying to come up with a dominant.
Let me point out another fact for you, John, too, and that is: remember, the United Kingdom was the world currency reserve until
right.
the Bretton Woods, and England's not a a financial dustbin. It's not Venezuela, right? So you can survive easily. As a non-world financial currency, if it happens, it would have ramifications of some things that you have to be concerned about. But it's not the end of the world. Also,
yeah. Well,
all right.
I was thinking it would probably be more purchases from those countries would be more affected than anything going on here in the U.S. that doesn't have anything to do with world.
Yes. It would impact any imports we bring from overseas,
right.
and it would impact your ability to go overseas and do things that you want to do. So those
right.
would be the big things. But we're not the first country that will ever lose the word currency reserve. But I have to run. We got to go to Roy now, Maddie. So let's see what Roy has to say.
All right, hi Roy.
Hello.
Hey Roy, what's up?
Okay, I have a couple of questions. The financial physical, if I call in and want to meet with you guys or, the computer,
yeah.
or whatever, what kind of time frame wait would there be for me to actually work with you guys?
Well, we have a pretty extensive team of people that we always can get somebody in 2 to 3 weeks if they want to meet that quickly. It's not a problem. It's usually 3 to 4 weeks at the most.
Okay, sounds good. Now, I have two other questions.
Uh-huh.
And I think you're the man to answer them. I'm 69. I do not have Roth IRAs.
Right.
I don't think it makes sense for me to convert any of my IRA money into Roth, using the Roth conversion process at my age. Is that...
It depends on what your goals and objectives are, my friend. Are you married or single?
I'm single now.
Single now. Do you have children?
Yes, 4.
Are they a concern to you long term that you want to leave assets to them and so forth, and that's important to you?
Absolutely.
Well, then Roth conversions is probably one of the most important things you're going to ever want to talk about. Because think about it. You leave pre-tax money to your kids, and it's a ticking tax bomb in their hands. You leave Roth money to kids, and it's 100% tax-free for 10 years after you pass away. I mean, you couldn't leave your kids anything any better than a Roth.
Okay, well, you answered that question. Next question. I was a civil servant for a long time. I currently have vaguely 50%.
Okay.
I'm paying, $125 a month. Someone just told me recently at 70 that it goes up substantially what I have to pay a month for that. Is that correct?
Usually that's correct. And, I usually tell my clients to, get rid of Fegley as quickly as you can. Not all of it. Whatever's free, you want to keep. But, Fegley is an awful, awful life insurance plan. And it's a shame that the government keeps promoting it to their employees.
Okay. And let me ask you. So I can reduce from the 50% down to the 25, and that should not be a problem with OPM, correct?
It should not be, but, I don't know your full situation, so don't take my word that I, understand everything about it.
I'm going to call and set up a financial fiscal, and I'm sure it'll be discussed in more detail.
And we'll look at that in more detail with you and so forth, but, the thing about group life insurance that all of our listeners need to think about is that if you're paying a premium for group life, and especially with Fegley, the guy sitting next to you smokes and overweight and chronic illnesses and so forth is paying the exact same premium you're paying. If you're in good health, why in the world would anybody waste any money with Fegley? And you look at the numbers, it's just unbelievable. So anyway, when we do that, we'll work with you and help you to come to the best conclusion possible. Okay, Roy?
Yes, sir. And 410-823-SAVE is where I call for appointment.
I should get you to do commercials for me.
Well, I'm just making sure. I'm just making sure I have the right number here. I'm old-fashioned. I have to write stuff down or I forget it.
I appreciate it, Roy. That is correct.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. Take care. All right. I don't know if we're going to get... Let's go to Steve real quick, find out what his question is. Steve?
I got a daughter who's a teacher, and she wants to set up a little private business teaching like math on the side, tutoring,
Yep.
And so she really doesn't know how to, go about so that she sets it up properly, that she pays the right taxes, files the right forms.
You're going to have to hold for me because I got a hard break right now at 6:29. But let me just say we're on open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, we're going to answer Steve's question when we come back from this break. Take it away, Trevor.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're on an open show. We've got Steve on the line. We want to answer his question about his daughter's business, but we want to let everyone know we're on an open show. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in to ask a question. John is up after Steve. Hopefully John holds on while we answer Steve's question. Let's go to Steve again, Maddie.
All right. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys.
So your question basically is, your daughter wants to start this business. What types of things does she need to do to account for it and make sure that she's doing the right things with it? Is that your question?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. So, it depends on how big a business you think it's going to be. 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, what?
Oh, probably more like 10,000. I mean, she's a regular school teacher, and a lot of people ask her, will you tutor after school because you're so good?
Let me tell you something. I have a client that's a tutor, and she makes $100,000 gross a year tutoring. So tutoring can be extremely profitable if you get the right connections. But anyway, the easy answer to your question, Steve, is that she should have a separate, distinct checking account. It can just be a checking account in her name, but that account should be one that anytime she makes money doing what it is, she puts it in that checking account. Anytime she pays a bill for that business, She takes it out of that checking account. And if there's ever excess money in that checking account that she doesn't think she's going to need to have to pay expenses, she writes a check to herself called owner's draw, and she just puts it into her other checking account. Now, why do we want her to do that? The answer is that checking account, by just getting the statements and the checks that were deposited in there and withdrawn in there, immediately can tell you what were your revenues. The deposits were $8,952. What was withdrawn for expenses? $1,322. Well, then what's your profit? X dollars. Now, there are a couple other simple things she's going to have to keep track of: driving, if she drives her car for the sake of that. And she's going to have to keep track of a room, if she has a room in her house that she uses to conduct her little tutoring business. She wants to keep track of the expenses of the house and the pro rata share of that office to the whole house. Those are just some of the simple things that she needs to think about and be ready for when tax time comes.
What about paying, like, you know, the whole thing, Medicare, you know, that 6.5% stuff?
All that's going to be paid at the end of the year when she files her tax return. So what's going to happen is she'll go to file her tax return, and there will be a new form attached to her tax return called a Schedule C, sole proprietor. And that Schedule C will say, hey, $8,922 of revenue. Hey, $1,400 worth of expenses. Hey, so she has a profit of $7,522. Okay. Well, multiply that by 15.3% after a couple other calculations, and, you know, she's going to owe, $700. But now keep in mind, this is minus anything that she's personally paying Social Security already on at work. So there is a possibility that she may not owe a lot of money on it. It just depends on how much money she makes at work. So that's how it's all done. That's a quick 101 of it, too, of course.
Okay, so the Social Security is like 6.5 or something, or what is it, half?
Social Security for her, when it's her own business, is going to be 15.3% of 92% of the value. So if she makes a net profit of $5,000, multiply that by 92%, multiply it by 15.3% is the tax she's going to have to pay on that. But she will get an additional tax deduction for 50% of whatever her FICA and Medicare tax is. And it gets even more complicated, because now you have this new thing called qualified business income, and that's going to be an additional deduction. So, what she really should do is find somebody that can help her do her tax return and sit down with them, so that what I just gave you quickly in a 101, they can really go over it with her, okay?
Wow, very good. There's some learning to do, I see.
It's far more complicated than it needs to be, but unfortunately, that's the way it is, my friend. All right?
Thank you. That's a start.
All right, good call. We're on an open show, Maddie, 410-922-6680. Let's go talk to John.
All right. Hi, John.
Is he still there?
I think we might have lost him. Doesn't look like it.
All right, John. John's impatient. We'll just, we can understand. I'm impatient, so what the, we got that in common, John. Anyway, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question. Nobody's online now, right?
Nope, lines are open.
No, lines are fully open. So, one of the things I wanted to talk about, Maddie, I was talking to Sean Casey this morning, actually, and, I wrote the book, The Financial Physical, and, we do this show, and we wrote the book to educate people about personal finances, because we don't believe that the public has really gotten sound information from the financial services industry about how to do personal money management. And they go to a tax preparer, and they get, hey, give me your numbers and I'll give you back your tax return. They go to an insurance agent. They say, hey, here's what you need for your auto and home. And they go to a broker and they say, here's some investments that you're going to make a lot of money, you know. And they go to, you know, a lawyer, and the lawyer's like, hey, I'd really love to talk to you a long time and really help you get this, but it's going to charge you too much money. So here, let's just do this and go on your way. And we want to educate people about, you know, how to understand the best in doing your personal finances so that you're getting the best that you can for your personal finances. Whether you hire somebody like us or not, our passion is to educate. And we figure those people that want to work with us, they'll come to work with us. Those people that don't, hopefully we gave you a lot of good education and was helpful to you. That's the goal of what we do. And so we priced the book, The Financial Physical, for $5.99. on Amazon, so that anybody can get it. Kindle is only $2.99, so anybody can get it and learn. And at the end of each chapter is a lesson on three guiding principles. We call it the principle of financial planning, the investment principles, and the psychological principles, which are as important as anything else in personal finance. And at the end of chapter one, the three topics are this. The psychological one is the foundation of all financial planning, is what you think about money is going to determine everything you're going to do with and for money. And you need to understand what that statement just said to you, you know, because as I said to Sean this morning, everybody has beliefs about money, but not all of our beliefs are true. And unfortunately, those false beliefs about money guide us to do things we shouldn't be doing with money. The second one is the investment principle, greed and fear. If you invest and you're sitting around worried that you're going to lose all your money, or if you're investing thinking you're going to become a gajillionaire because you just found the next Google stock or the next Apple stock that's going to go up 1,000,000%. That's why people run after things like Bitcoin. You know, it's because, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money in Bitcoin. Look at that. Everybody just, he just made $1,000,000. I'm going to make, if you're thinking like that, you're going to get destroyed in the investment world because greed and fear are the arch enemies of investors. And the last one are the four tools for financial planning. It's the financial planning principle. Anything you want to accomplish financially, whatever it is, you need to have a goal. Exactly laid out as to what you want to try to accomplish. You need to understand what risk you're willing to take to accomplish that goal. You need to understand your cash flow. Where's your money coming? Where's your money going? And you understand your net worth. What do I have? What are my bank accounts worth? What are my brokerage accounts, my IRAs, my 401ks? What do I have in mortgage, et cetera, et cetera? And when you have those four tools in place, you can do pretty much any planning you need to do. So that's just chapter one. There are 10 chapters, three guiding principles at each the end of each chapter. And I'm just hoping that people will take this seriously for what it is. It's not about the consulate. And you know, I think we make 60 cents if somebody buys a book. I think if even every American in the United States bought a book, we would barely get much money from that. So, you know, get it for yourself, get it for your kids, you know, help them to understand the guiding principles of what we believe professional money management is all about. And on that, we're at the end of this quarter hour, right? And we're on an open show. We have nobody online, too, right? I must have just bored everybody with my rant there about the book. And hopefully somebody will call in for our last quarter hour. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show, and I think we've got one caller, right?
We
Maddie?
Do, yes. We got one over the break, Barry.
All right. Let's see if somebody else wants to call in while we're talking to Barry, because we'd probably be able to handle at least one or two more. So 410-922-6680, if you want to call in, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in. Let's go to Barry, see what he has to question.
All right. Hi, Barry.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick so other folks can fit in. My wife and I are both in our upper 60s into 70, and she's retired. I'm still working, especially because of the political situation of the United States. We've given some consideration to potentially moving overseas, A, or potentially B, pulling a Tina Turner and actually renouncing U.S. citizenship, perhaps, which is kind of a serious thing, but it's the only way you can get rid of the IRS, so to speak. Not that we're doing anything illegal, and we're not, certainly not overly wealthy. So I just wanted to kind of brush it by you and see if you had any general thoughts on that.
Well, you know, here's the thing that I want to point out is that the thing that's going on in the United States today is the media. You'd say, what does that have to do with my question, Drew? And the answer is that everything is amplified. In other words, everything's an incredible, horrible thing. And, you know, whether it's climate, you know, all you ever see is hurricanes and tornadoes and heat waves and people dying and buildings falling. And all you ever hear is that this political party is destroying us. And then their television media people tell them that this radio station and this television station, you know, is saying this political party is going to destroy this country because of this or that, et cetera, et cetera. And if you really look at the United States of America, we don't look any different today than we did in 1776, in 1832, in 1865, in 1885, in 1919, in 1932, in 1945, in 1968. You know, I mean, we do not look any different. The difference is that the media amps it up and makes us feel like the world is coming to an end and the United States is doomed. Get the heck out of town. Get all your money in cryptocurrency and gold because the United States is doomed, doomed, doomed. But if you really watch and listen to somebody like Warren Buffett, who's the exact opposite of the media, he's been saying for years, don't listen to him. Don't ever bet against the United States of America. There are no better countries in the world. And we go through these periods of time, and it's the fact that we are so controversial with each other and always have been since the beginning of time that makes our country as great as it is. If we ever get to a point where we have incredible harmony, that's the day you better be concerned about the United States of America. That's my opinion. And I think if you really are concerned, the best thing you do is just move to one of the states that is, you know, doing the kind of things that you really like. That's why I moved down here and said, hey, I've had it with Maryland. I just can't appreciate the things they were doing, you know, and the things they kept telling me that I had to do. And so I found a state that, and that's the, you know, and that's what makes America great, you know? And here's the point. The founding fathers were brilliant. What they did is they created a competition of governments. Think about that. They made a competition of governments and said, whichever government is governing the best, that's the one that's going to be the most prosperous in the United States of America, because the governments are competing against it. They've created a free market of governments. And the thing that's destroying it is the more and more power we cede to the U.S. federal government. And that's been going on for hundreds of years now, that more and more power is being ceded to the federal government and destroying the beauty of what our founding fathers did in the competition of the state governments. But there's still plenty of competition in the state governments. I'd just look for the state that you feel is implementing the governmental choices that you like and not try to go overseas. All right, that's my opinion. I'm sticking with it, Barry.
Yeah, I appreciate it. My wife is from overseas. She spent years and years and years in one of the former communist countries. So
she knows.
She's very sensitive to what's going on in this country with the corruption of federal law enforcement and some of the other things going on.
Well, but I understand, let me tell you something. Herbert Hoover, the FBI guy, the buildings named after, and
J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover. He was no.
He wasn't a prince either. So,
You don't know. I don't think any of us know. Nobody knows what really happened to John Kennedy, but we have to roll on. We got to get to John before we finish here. Let's go see what John has to say. Thanks, Barry. That was a great question. Got me on a rant there.
Yep.
Let's go talk to John.
All right. Hi, John.
Hello.
Yeah, John.
Hey, I've got a couple questions for you real quick.
Okay.
My first question is, I'm retired right now. I'm 67 years old. I retired at 65, but I also retired at 60 from the railroad. I got their Tier 2 tax.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm getting their Tier 1 2 tax. Okay?
Okay.
So my wife is younger than I am.
Okay.
They already explained to me that if I go with Social Security, they just absorb the Social Security and pay me from federal railroad tax anyway.
Correct.
Okay, and now my wife will be 60 years old within a year, and she will get like one-third or something.
Right.
Will that come out of her Social Security?
Well, it depends on which Social Security. It depends on which Social Security is more, whether she has accumulated more of her own Social Security or if the portion of your railroad retirement for her is higher. It's kind of like, it's the same as if you worked only in Social Security and she worked also in Social Security, and then you determine was her higher or was half of yours higher. And the same thing's going to sort of happen with railroad retirement and her Social Security. But if she did fairly well with Social Security herself, chances are she's just going to get her Social Security.
Okay, so she won't be able to get anything from railroad retirement?
She might be able to, but I don't know the full numbers of the two of them. Railroad retirement is incredibly... You think Social Security is complicated. Railroad retirement is a whole complicated mess in and of itself.
You're exactly right. I understand.
And I understand what you're...
Explain it
what,
to me.
Yeah, I understand what your complication there is, but I'd have to see the numbers of what your wife's Social Security statement said and what your Social Security, what your railroad retirement said to be able to answer your question. And if you die... she will be able to choose between, or they'll give her the higher of the two. So that even gets more complicated. So it's a great question. I wish I could answer it easily for you on the radio tonight, but it's not that easy. So, all right, I got to run. I think I'm out of time. I am out of time. So, and Maddie's looking at me with that look, and Anita's looking at me even worse than Maddie's looking at me. So, good question, John. Thank you. We're finished for tonight, right, Maddie?
Mm-hmm. Just in time.
Just in time. All right. Well, Maddie, you have a great night, and you're going to Italy. I won't see you again on the radio for a couple months, right?
Yeah, no, not until October.
All right. Bring us back a glass of wine.
I will. Will do.
All right. This is Drew Tignanelli. Thank God bless.